Want to lose up to 15% of your body weight? Fridays helps you achieve lasting weight loss. We combine GLP-1 medication with nutritional coaching, mental health support, and fitness plans tailored just for you. All included in one monthly price. At Fridays, one price. Every month, all doses and everything is included. Getting started is simple. Take our quiz and get connected with a provider to start your journey. Fridays is certified by LegitScript, so you know the medications are produced safely by accredited pharmacies. Check us out on Trustpilot with over 1,000 five-star reviews. Don't wait. Save $100 off any plan when you start your weight loss journey today. Visit joinfridays.com and use code Fridays100. That's joinfridays.com, code Fridays100. joinfridays.com, code Fridays100. Medications will only be prescribed by a licensed clinician if deemed medically appropriate after a thorough consultation. Results are not guaranteed and may vary by individual. Compounded products are not FDA approved or evaluated by the FDA for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Please visit our website for important drug safety information.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is part two for the episode Blink. Make sure you've listened to part one already. If you ended up here first, just take a minute and double back and listen to the entire first part of the episode, because we talked about a whole bunch of other really important stuff. And then come back and we will have this episode for you. And we're going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shadowland.
Living in Shadowland!
I was playing the drums for you.
That was good. It's like, who's the Muppet? Monster?
Animal.
Same thing.
I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but...
That animal is a monster.
He's a Muppet. Here's the thing about Muppets. Some of them are Muppets and some of them are monsters, and it's actually pretty confusing. When you get to the point where Marlo is watching a lot of Sesame Street, you will join me in having this amount of knowledge for no reason whatsoever.
I saw
Elmo is a monster, but Big Bird is a bird, so he's a Muppet.
Oh.
Bert and Ernie are monsters. Grover's a monster. Cookie Monster, obviously a monster.
Bert and Ernie are people.
No, they're Muppets.
But you just said they're monsters.
Oh, sorry. Bert and Ernie are Muppets. Grover is a monster. Cookie Monster is a monster. Big Bird
that
is
one
a Muppet.
That one seems pretty easy. Cookie Monster being a monster. If Cookie Monster was a Muppet, I'd be pissed.
Oscar the Grouch is a Muppet. Abby Cadabby is a Muppet, but a fairy. Zoe's a Muppet. Zoe.
I saw a post on Instagram that was...
Was it about Elmo?
Elmo saying, how y'all doing? And people's reactions to that.
The responses are insane. It's so funny. I actually got an alert from CNN earlier that was like, Elmo tweeted asking people how he was doing. The responses were not expected.
Yeah. No one expected
it. So funny. They're so funny, though.
I love it. All right, so Living in Shondaland. For those of you first time here on YouTube, Living in Shondaland, it is where I guess who are the crossover characters for Living in the Shondaland universe, and that includes Gray's Private Practice, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder. This is not
and
including,
Bridgerton,
or you are including Bridgerton.
Anna. Yeah.
And Station 19.
Just the shows that she's done.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Three.
The quarterback.
No.
What?
He did look super familiar, though. Let me pull him back up. You keep guessing.
The doctor guy that Bailey turned down?
Yes.
Okay. The quarterback's wife.
No.
I feel like we've seen the doctor that Mark yelled at before, but
yes, she is in Shondaland, but we have
we've covered her before.
Talked to her before, yeah.
Yeah. Who else was in this show? Today.
Someday.
the quarterback's kid.
No.
What the fuck? Who else was in this fucking show? Oh, stupid me. The valve, the heart lady was in Private Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her. And so, okay, we've got two. We're not considering Addison, right?
No.
Is it someone who just is sitting up in the gallery with them when they're watching the surgery?
No.
Who am I missing? Who's the third person?
It's the guy that Christina's really rude to when she's getting the valves.
Oh, okay. It's a banker situation. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Jared Crawford, who is the guy that Christina's rude to? Dr. Oslo. One episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay.
Amal Shah, who plays Dr. Rob. So the guy that Bailey gives the speech to. Six episodes of Scandal. He was like one of the reporters that's always there, like when they're doing press briefings.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then Cynthia Stevenson plays Ruthie. Oh my God. Played Ruthie. One episode of Scandal, one episode of Private Practice, five episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. She's Connor's mom.
Oh, she's Connor's mom. Yeah. That's where I was recognizing her from.
Yeah.
She can get it.
She does.
She does. She's a hot mom.
Watch Scandal, guys, or How to Get Away with Murder. Watch them both if you haven't.
Yeah,
you should. You're here and you haven't watched both of those, I'm actually pretty surprised, because I feel like Shonda people are Shonda people through and through, but maybe not. I haven't watched Station 19, so.
Not yet. We're going to need to.
I know. Eventually, I'm going to have to. I have watched, I think, all of the crossover episodes.
Just watched the series. Yeah, you gotta watch the lead up. I need Private Practice to end as a show before Station 19 starts. I cannot watch three fucking shows to get to these crossovers. You know what would really be wild is if we were doing a Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Med. Chicago Med one. That's a wild. That'd be wild. That's too much.
It's like all the CSIs and a kid, like once per season they would do like a, like, oh, we have to go to Vegas. Oh, we have to go to Miami.
Yeah, that stuff is hard. To this day, one of my formative memories is CSI Las Vegas when he's in underground.
Nick, I was just thinking. I remember watching that and being, I'm like, this is why I have anxiety as an adult.
Yeah, that's a traumatic genetics, core memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Nick. God, I love
him. Spoiler alert. He lives. Fine. He's okay. All it took was a little bit of gum in the ears and a gunshot.
And up the nose.
Yeah, and up the nose, right? To stop those fire ants.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to get those fire ants eating your brain.
Yeah. Remember, did you know that Jessica stepped on a fire ant hill as she left Lauren and Sean's wedding and they got in her dress and
yes,
she stripped?
Yes, I remember. And she just threw it in a dumpster.
Yeah. To this
and
day.
And rode home in Spanx.
Yeah, that was crazy. And like
we were actually talking about yesterday. Do you remember at your wedding when her wedding dress was just like full of crickets?
Yeah. So crazy. So crazy. They're still there.
He preserved them with the memories.
Yes. Oh, man. I wish that suit fit still. I got two good uses out of it.
What was the second one?
My wedding. The crossover episode of our lives.
The crossover wedding.
The one where they got married.
And the other one where they also got married.
Yeah. All right. So we have a couple things to talk about left with the show. So where do you want to start?
I guess we'll start with Ruthie.
Ruthie!
Mm-hmm. She's kind of annoying.
She's very annoying in this show. She's annoying.
Wildly high maintenance.
And Teddy gives Christina
Teddy is
the news.
Like enjoying it.
Oh yeah. So like, this is a big deal though. It's a solo surgery.
It is, but she's like tainting it by giving her like the most obnoxious patient she can fucking find.
Well, yeah, it's kind of I feel like it's on purpose a little bit.
Yeah.
So we get that.
So Ruthie needs a valve replacement and she's going to do a mechanical valve. But then Christina meets her and she's like, that noise is going to be annoying. I'm like, well, that's annoying.
That's annoying. It's not going to sound like that
right now. I mean, I don't know how these things work. Maybe you can hear it. I don't fucking know, but I don't know. She's annoying. She's just insanely high maintenance. She's like, let me tell you everything I'm allergic to, including zucchini, just in case you were planning on using zucchini to operate on me. And then
Reminiscus.
Don't. And then she's like, I'm going to change to the pig valve. And Christina's like, well, that's a different surgery. Ruthie's like, okay, I would like it anyways.
Yeah.
And
she's like, I don't give a fuck if it's different.
Teddy's like, well, can't give you a perfect time for your first surgery. Why would I do that? And so then Christina goes and learns about this damn pig surgery. I guess here's the thing. Like, I don't understand how they can be that different. You're doing the same thing in all of them. You're replacing a valve. I mean, I believe her that it's different, but I don't understand why it's so different that it's like a huge deal. I don't know.
So what I'm gathering, and we kind of get into this later on when she's trying to go like clamp or
suture.
I'm assuming the toughness of the exterior walls of these valves is different. I would imagine a pig has maybe a thicker valve than a cow.
Really?
Because of the fat content of the pig. I don't know.
And
well, that's
I'm
what
not
I was gathering.
Do the research to find out. So we're just going to speculate blindly and then move on with our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ruthie's annoying. And then she switched. Oh, and then she's like, well, my sister ate a pork chop in front of me and I didn't feel called to the pig. I didn't feel like I could relate to it. So I probably shouldn't get a pig valve. What? Someone needs to call psych.
The TV show
needs to talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
About the way she makes her choices in life. And so then she's like, can I look at the valves? And Christina says, no. Teddy's like, well, I guess we'll cancel. And Christina's like, no, I'll find the fucking valves.
I got this. I can do this. I'll get you a valve.
The guy with the valves. And then she goes and puts the valves in front of them, in front of Ruthie, and Ruthie's like, oh, I just don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. What do I do? What do I do? And Christina's like, just fucking pick it. Just listen to your gut and pig, make a choice. So then Ruthie's like, cow, pig.
And she becomes at peace and she says, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I am down
with the pig.
Down for a good swine.
Mm-hmm. So, that's annoying. So then Christina goes to do the surgery and everything's fine. And
well,
then
minus Teddy just sitting in a corner.
Well, hold on. And then and then it's not fine. Christina is struggling and Teddy is doing nothing about it.
And there's a bleeder, like, right? She can't find where the bleeding is coming from.
And she doesn't know if she is meant to use sutures or a clamp to stop the bleed. And Teddy's like, well, you have to decide, which she did the first episode she was in when she's like, what do you want to do? And Christina's like, I want to defibrillate. And she's like, correct, do it. So it was kind of the same principle where it's like, this is clearly how she teaches. So I understand why Owen thinks kind of, that she's doing it to spite him. However, I don't think it's fair to say, are you murdering someone because you're mad I don't want to date you? So I don't love that look from Owen.
There were two. Derek thinking that Meredith and the teaching is actively about him, and Hunt thinking that Teddy trying to get Christina to murder someone, both of those things being about the men in the show, does show that they clearly are very full of themselves in a lot of ways. And the whole world revolves around them.
I will say, if I had to pick, I would choose Derek in that one. Because
Hunt, it's a little bit shocking.
Yeah, I'm like, you're going to say this woman is using your girlfriend to kill a human being because she's mad that you won't date her. That's what you're saying. That's the story you want to stick to right now. So we are all on the same page.
All is fair.
That's what you want to tell me.
All's fair in love and war, Kelsey.
And so Teddy isn't, excuse me, I have to die for a minute. Teddy is sitting there. And Christina's like, are you going to do something? And she's like, no, like, you are doing it. Do it. And so she does the pig or cow. Well, hold on.
She kicks out. She kicks out Hunt.
Owen comes in and he's like, can you fucking help her? And Teddy's like, no, she doesn't need it. And she's like, Owen says she was too proud to ask, but she needs it. And Hunt's like, Teddy says, actually, she did ask. And I said no. And you can fuck right off. And they're bickering. And that's when Christina says, like, I can't fucking concentrate. Get out of my OR to Owen. And then she makes a choice. Pig, cow, valve, suture, clamp, whatever. And she's right. Ruthie's fine. Like, everything works out, obviously. But yeah, there's like a lot.
I wrote the note. She did choose the clamp specifically because it was the pig valve. So suture must be for cow.
I'm glad that you got that medical lesson today.
Speaking of cows, did you ever watch the TV show Cow and Chicken? You ever watch that show?
Yes, I didn't like it.
Did you ever watch the show Two Stupid Dogs?
I don't think so. Are you thinking of Two Angry Beavers?
No, that's a different show. Did you watch Rocco's Modern Life?
I hate Rocco's Modern Life. I hate Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy was fucked up. That's some adult shit that, like, there's for sure some traumas that people didn't even realize they were getting from that show if they're watching that as a kid.
Yeah. Also, if you haven't watched Has Been Hotel, watch Has Been's Hotel because it is so fucking good. It's on Amazon Prime.
Has Been's Hotel. Jessica's rewatching in her free time Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a good fucking show.
Yeah, I still need to watch that.
Don't. Let's do that.
Carmen, you can't tell me what not to watch until you start watching this show and we start pumping out these episodes at a much greater rate. Because I'm not going to wait 8 years to watch Mrs. Maisel.
I didn't realize that I'm best friends with a selfish person.
Well, that's on you because I've been this way forever.
Also, I'm 90% sure Jessica is making brownies upstairs because I asked her, why don't we have brownies in this house? I don't deserve her.
Some brownies. Well, that's true.
Well, she doesn't deserve
that every
she
day.
Okay. She doesn't deserve me either.
Well, no one deserves to have you, Jesus Christ.
I know. No one's that good.
No one deserves that kind of treatment.
Okay. So, she makes it through the surgery. Should we... Meniscus for the rest of us.
She makes it to the surgery, and then Teddy and Owen have a moment in the hall when he's like, you're gonna tell me that wasn't about me at all? And she's like, Owen,
literally, yeah,
fuck off. Then she just gets emotional, and then Owen goes to talk to Christina, and she's like on this high, and she's like, this is the first time I felt like myself in so long. Like, did you see how that was? Like, that was amazing. I can't believe, like, that was so, like, I'm just so happy, all this stuff. Like, Teddy's the best, blah, blah, blah. And Owen's like, cool.
She's leaving.
She's leaving. Christina's like, is this a fucking joke?
Well, right before that, so in their intense scene, she, so Teddy referring to Christine is like, she's a racehorse. You got to push her.
Yeah.
Do racehorses need to get pushed? I don't even understand. Like, don't they die? Don't they like over?
You got to like keep them doing something.
Keep them working. Yeah. So there was for sure something going on in that scene. There was like, I thought that they were going to, I thought he was going to make a move. Hallway sex in front of everyone. So, yeah. Okay. Go on. You take the lead on this next part here because this is intense. This is.
So, yeah. Christina's so happy. And Owen is like, Teddy is not going to stay. She's leaving Seattle. It's not going to work out. And Christina just turns around and leaves. She like sprints out of the hospital chasing Teddy. And she's like, please don't leave. Like, what do you want? Do you want more money? Like, I'll go to the chief. I'll like make sure he gives you more money. Do you want a lab? I'll figure it out. Like, I'll make him, I'll anything you want. And she's like pleading and begging her. And Teddy says, she's like, I want Owen. But like, she says it like to shut Christina up. And Christina says, fine, done, take him. Which is not a great look for Christina. We know I love Christina. We know that I can also say when it's bad news bears. And this is that time. Not a good thing to say about the person that you say you're in love to. So do you want to unpack what you think this means?
So there's no going back from this for either of them. Mm-hmm. However, Hunt does not know about this conversation.
That is correct.
So, I actually, it's not a good look for Christina, but can I also just say respect? She cares about being a surgeon more than a fucking man.
She's
that is how the world needs to,
that to be true.
Like, totally.
How many times have they had the conversation? Like, if you had to pick between, you know, the person you were with and doing surgery, like, what would you pick and all this stuff? And she's always been like, I would always pick surgery.
Yeah.
She's and true to who she is.
What I like about this episode is there's two people who make choices that we know are right. Well, hold on. I shouldn't say that. Let me say, it seems to be the correct choice based on their moral compass. Mm-hmm. Mark, however, has grown his moral compass recently.
Right.
Right? Being a dad over being with Lexi is probably something that's a little bit shocking to us right now as viewers. We didn't really maybe see that coming. It makes sense mm-hmm. for his character right now. They've developed him. He's grown a lot. He's mature. But Lexi's his girl. Mm-hmm. They're cute together. They're in love. It's shocking. Christina, don't give a fuck. She is, like you said, true to that character, true to what she's always been at with that. So I, man, I don't know what Teddy's gonna do though. I genuinely don't know. But I think they have to, this has to be the way that Christina and Hunt break up. And Owen has been ready to jump on Teddy. If Christina wasn't there, they would have had sex every second of every day up until this point. Just constant penetration.
Oh, stop using that word.
Penetration?
Stop.
Okay. But so, I didn't see it coming out like that. I didn't. Both of them were very upfront. I want Owen. Okay, fine. Done. Yours? Any other questions? You going to stay?
Do you think Christina like put thought into that answer?
No.
So do you think she means it?
She clearly on her face is regretting saying it, but I think that she understands. It's like, it's when Darth Vader tells Luke to search his feelings and he knows it to be true about him being his father. Christina's like, I'm mad that I said this and this sucks because I love Owen, but I know it's true. I want
to
do something.
I know it to be true.
I've searched my feelings, Father. Darth Vader. I guess spoiler alert if Star Wars... I get so nervous now.
I think potentially we may have passed the statute of limitation for Star Wars. Right.
She definitely regrets it, though. I could tell she regrets it, but only because her nature and, like, her head is clashing with her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you do or do not think Teddy would tell Owen? You do or do not think Christina would tell anyone?
Teddy is going to tell Owen. Mm-hmm. And Owen will confront Christina. And Christina will confirm. Yep.
That she will give him away or that she said it?
That they're done. That they're done. She's going to confirm, oh, okay. Yeah, I said it. Mm-hmm. I don't... Yeah. She's going to tell him that she said it, but she didn't mean it. And he's going to say, well, you saying it and not meaning it doesn't matter. We're done.
We're done, bitch.
This is my out.
This is my out
to go get
Teddy.
It in. Yeah. So that's where I'm thinking things are going.
Okay. Okay. So should we talk about Alex and Reed? Oh, and Derek and Callie. We didn't talk about Tom Cates.
Huh? Who?
We didn't really talk about Tom, the football player.
Oh, I assumed he's next after the break. So is he supposed to be
Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, he is the Seattle Seahawks, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When did Russell Wilson get drafted into the league? It's been not that long.
Yeah, not since 2010. Oh, we didn't even say that we're in 2010. I mean, I said we're in 2010, but like we're in 2010 now.
Oh! Yeah. Can you believe that's the year I graduated high school?
Really?
Yeah, 2010.
But you're only a year younger than me.
I was a genius. I was promoted.
No, honey. You graduated 2 years after me, and you're only a year younger than me. Jeez. It's a really good try, though.
How old are you?
33. I was born in 1990.
But it's August, right? August birthday? August 17th?
7th.
7th. See, I'm so close.
November 4th, bitch.
Yeah, only because it's your engagement date. You don't remember my birthday. You remember your engagement date, and it just so happens to be my birthday. Ma'am. The brownie timer has gone off and I can do it upstairs. Okay.
I'm gonna text her and tell her to eat all of those so you don't get any of them.
Save me she's gonna save me the centerpieces out of spite.
Yeah.
She'll sacrifice.
I'll tell her to freeze me.
The corners.
The corners for when I'm up there in 2 months.
Bring your fucking corner mold with you.
Yes.
Please. Pack that shit up. Okay, wait, no, for real. Okay, I don't know why we were talking about graduation and all of their ages, because I brought it up because I'm an idiot. I don't know. He's not supposed to, he's supposed to represent an actual player?
He's just a good quarterback. Just let it be.
Okay. Dang.
Quiet. You don't know anything about the NFL.
Justin Fields. Oh, Caleb Williams.
God, these are not even good players.
Whoa.
Who is the best quarterback in the league right now?
Right now, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. I'm actually impressed that was the correct answer. Good job.
He was on my fantasy team.
That was a good pick.
Remember I did fantasy? I got first overall pick, and everyone made fun of me for picking a quarterback first overall because apparently there's protocol and you're supposed to draft receivers or running back first off
round. That Michael didn't pick Travis Kelce first round. I was like, obviously, like, and then he got so many points the whole season. And every time he would get points, I'm like, he'd be like, Travis Kelce scored again. And I was like, yeah, I told him because Michael had first pick. And he didn't pick Travis Kelce. And then he spent half the season trying to trade with someone who had Travis Kelce. And I was like, I don't feel bad for you.
I didn't make a single trade all season. I didn't make a, and I got third place really knowing nothing at all about football.
You really don't. How many people are in that league?
What?
Four.
Three. No, it was not eight or nine.
Okay. I'm so sorry. We're off topic. Let's take a quick break from our regional sponsors. And we're back.
Yes. Okay. All right. So this guy's a quarterback. He's great. He's been in the league for 2 years, apparently. And
yeah, so
he has
fresh career.
Fresh career. The face of Seattle. And a wonderful wife and a wonderful little kid. But he's got a problem.
Yeah,
Kelce, what's the problem?
He doesn't
want
to play football anymore. He's scared that he's going to like not have a memory or a life to spend with his kid, which is fair.
Yeah.
If you watch the NFL now, you know, like, some of these hits are scary. Some of these guys collapsing on the field is scary. And then they like lie about concussion protocol because they want to play, especially because a lot of their contracts have like bonuses based on yards and games and points and all these other things, like catches, like depending on their position, like different incentives is the word I'm looking for. All their contracts have different incentives. So they will just lie, because initially protocol concussion is basically they just take you over to the side, and like if you don't fall down and can like tell them what day it is, they're like, okay, you can play. I mean, they'll ask you how you feel, but you can just lie. There's a lot of weird stuff with concussion protocol in the NFL right now. And obviously I love football. I'm a huge football fan. But I also like want people to be safe.
Yeah.
If all the people are unsafe, then there's no people to play football anymore. So like what would be the point?
Well, that's the point. No more football.
Well, that would be sad. And then you have, you know, Tua, there was a couple hits this year where he like got hit really bad, stood up, took a couple steps and like immediately collapsed. And then like later in the game, they just put him back in. I'm like, I'm not a doctor. And that is, could not be more obviously a concussion. And it's just like, what are you doing, guys? Like, there are people on the field specifically for this. What are they there? Like, what are they doing? Anyways.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy last year who got hit at a Buffalo Bills game.
In the chest and his heart stopped?
Yeah. Yeah. That was very unsettling.
Yeah.
Anyways, this could happen in any sport.
Yeah.
You know, in baseball, there can be a rogue ball that hits somebody in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously, like, football is very hands-on and very aggressive and very violent. Like, that's the game is, like, literally just hitting each other to make sure the other person doesn't have the ball anymore. That's the game.
Yeah.
So, Tom Cates is scared that he's going to get hit so hard that he's like basically not going to be able to get up. He says, I've seen guys that play for so long, they get hit so many times, they don't even like know their own name anymore. He's like, I'm just afraid that my son's going to grow up without a dad. Which I feel like anybody who would be in a position where they could immediately get hurt in a way that would change the trajectory of their life like that would have those thoughts once they have a kid.
Oh yeah. I don't even like driving a car now.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I just like sit in a turn lane excessively long to make sure it's clear and people just honk and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Honk all you want. You should have left your house earlier. This is not my fault.
We had a huge snowstorm here in Illinois. And,
oh my God, same.
When you move to Illinois. But I drive 40 miles each way for work and it took me 2 hours to get to work and I'm sitting there like my knuckles were as white as the snow outside. And there was one point I'm on the highway and I fishtail and it's like, you see your life flash before your eyes in those kind of moments. All it takes is one semi to you never see your kid again, but
yeah,
but that's anywhere, anytime, any day. So
yeah,
yeah, you never know. A football player gets hit. Live he's a VIP. Now. It seems like he knew Derek, like they had a past relationship.
But again, concussion protocol.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Derek probably has been working with him before on other, like, you know, similar situations, essentially. And so Derek's like, oh, we got to stop meeting like this. And his wife comes in. She's like, oh my God, it's a bad hit. I knew it was a bad hit. It's a bad hit. I saw it before you even hit the ground. I knew it was a bad hit, which again, there are hits where you see that and you're like, well, that person, like if this person ever plays football again, I'll be fucking shocked. I mean, and there are hits now even that they're like ESPN straight up won't replay. They're like, we're not going to show it again. Or Fox or CBS, whatever. It's airing. They're like, we're not showing it again. Like, probably thank you. Like, there's probably a reason. And so Callie is there also, obviously. He's a football player. They got to make sure that his bones are fine. Because sometimes, you know, they do be breaking bones out there.
Doobie.
Poor Tom. Derek does all his stuff. He's like, oh, good news. Like, your brain's fine, but your spleen is burst. So we're going to have to, take your spleen out. You'll be out for the season, but then you'll still be able to play next season. And Tom has a panic attack.
I did not see that coming. I didn't see that it was a panic attack. I thought, oh my gosh, like this is worse than they thought. There's something else going on.
Oh, you thought it was like his heart or something?
Yeah.
And so, Derek pretty immediately puts it together. Honestly, Derek's like on it with the empathy this episode, to be honest. He's pretty in tune with what Tom's head is at. And he's like, you're just being a dad. Like, it makes sense you feel this way. You're just being a dad. Like, I understand where you're coming from. And so he's like, why don't you just retire? And Tom has this whole thing where he's like, I can't retire. Like, I understand that I'm not, you know, fighting for the country and I'm not like saving lives every day, but this whole city depends on me and I can't let them down. And I will say again, I love football. I love sports. We do put a lot of pressure on people who are like, if this guy's been in the league 2 years, he's probably 25, maybe 26.
Yeah, maybe.
That's really young.
It's a lot of pressure. We do put a lot of pressure on our athletes to be
even at college level. And I know there's like a lot of controversy around college athletes getting paid for their likeness, but I'm like, the universities make so much money off of them. Like, we're so entertained by them and like they just get nothing. And except like we are all mad at them all the time, like if it doesn't go our way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
the thing is, go ahead.
I just remember a couple of years. So for several years, the Tennessee volunteer football team has been subpar at best. And I just remember I read this article about a guy who was at a gas station and there was, he saw a guy with this there with a truck and his truck said volunteer's dad. And so he asked the guy driving the truck, like, oh, do you have a kid that like plays for the Vols? And the guy's like, oh yeah, I have my son's on the football team. Like, he's in the truck. Do you want to say hi? And the guy was like, oh, I'd love to. So he goes up and he's like, oh, do you play on the team? And the kid who's like 19 is like, yeah, I'm really sorry. Because so many people like constantly harassed him that was his like gut instinct was like, if someone is talking to me as a football player on this team, I have to apologize to them.
That's shit.
And I mean, yeah, this post like went viral on Facebook because he was like, these are kids, like, cause he was going to him to say like, oh, I love watching you guys play. Like, always been such a fan of the Vols. Like, thanks for like doing that. And so he was just like, so sad that the kid was like, I'm sorry as his first reaction. And he was like, these are kids. Like, you have to remember that they're just going to college and like also playing a game that we like to watch. before you like harass them, just remember that. So I don't know. I just think that always really sticks to me. And so anytime I'm like, even watching the NFL, like looking at people and their ages and stuff, because like any athlete is, there's like such a timeline, right?
Yeah.
On how long they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And like Olympic athletes, they're always like, especially gymnasts, right? By the time they're like 19, they're like, wow, you're so old.
Yeah. Better retire. Phone it in.
No, like Travis Kelce is my age. And I'm like, that's pretty old for the NFL, honestly.
Well, his brother is 36 and retiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, allegedly. Unclear. Mm.
Well, anyways, so the moral of the story is,
started on the Kelce brothers. Okay.
The moral of the story is, well, it's okay. The Bears are going to sign both of them in the offseason. They're both going to be in Chicago.
The way that will never happen.
Hey, Mama Kelce is a Bears fan through and through.
She's not.
So,
they're from Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate them. I hate all Kelces.
Podcast.
Starting with you. So, okay.
Anyway, be nice to children.
Be nice to athletes, you know, unless it's Tom Brady in the BetMGM commercials, which is so funny.
Fuck Tom Brady, though.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it's crazy. It's sad. A lot of pressure. The thing. So you see, my concern is that in this episode, they go to the, let's try to find a way to get this guy out of the game, as opposed to maybe let's get him into a therapist. Let's have him talk to someone. Let's get into some therapy, right? Because I feel like getting over that mental fear and that hurdle is kind of like, you know, it's the yips of fear. I'm not saying that he has to get back on the field, but going to a knee replacement and taking him out of that career, that seems like a bit of a dramatic turn.
Why?
There's always going to be fear. In a sport.
Right. But if you're like, if you can't play anymore, maybe now he can like coach high school football. He can still play football. He can still change lives.
I'm not saying that it was a bad choice. I'm like, I just am confused as to why we didn't also think maybe let's get this guy a quick psych consult. Let's have him talk to someone. Could use some talk therapy before replacing his kneecap.
First of all, everyone can use therapy.
Correct.
Agreed. Everyone should be in therapy. I don't think it's fair to be like, ooh, this guy needs therapy because he's afraid of like not of dying and missing his kid's life because he actively is putting himself in a position where he could do that on a regular basis.
It's not the slippery slope specifically that I was talking about. I get where you're coming from, and I get why.
I just am. I don't understand what you're saying.
Because he's played football his whole life. The only reason he's scared is because of the family situation. But like, right. You could talk through a little bit of therapy and find coping mechanisms for your fear as opposed to just giving up.
Or you could just have a different job.
Yes, which ultimately I'm assuming is going to happen with a scenario.
Right. But like, I just don't understand why you don't think that having a different job is good if he doesn't want to
I didn't say that. This just seems like the extreme response. I felt like there were steps that should have been in between that. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't know. I just truly don't understand why.
You don't have to understand. I'm telling you my perspective. The whole point of this podcast is to share perspective.
I just am trying to understand your perspective. I don't want you to change my mind. I just can't.
There's no going back.
I can't wrap my mind around where you're coming from.
Going straight from I got hit and I'm scared and I'm having my knee replaced is final. Having some talk therapy and then coming to that decision anyways seems like you're taking precautions to not make a final. There's no reversing a knee replacement.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Why do you think he is going to regret it?
Because he's an athlete. He's a competitor.
There are
I know that he can compete.
Compete
in different ways, but he's not going to be on the field anymore.
Well, he doesn't want to be on the field anymore. Are you not watching the same episode?
I am. He's scared to be on the field.
Yes, for a good reason. He doesn't want
We're saying the same things.
No,
I was just saying
something different.
No, I'm just saying that it seems like they went to the far extreme as option number one. I feel like there are steps.
Therapy is going to. Like, if you're just saying get him in therapy to, like, make him do something he doesn't want to do.
No. Get him into therapy to make sure that his decision he's at peace with. So the resentment doesn't...
How do you know he's not already at peace?
Because we never went to therapy to establish that.
You have to go to therapy for every decision you make to be at peace?
If I made the decision to have surgery where I couldn't drive to work anymore... And I needed to retire from work.
That would be the dream.
But I would have to have an elective surgery for someone to tell me that I no longer can drive. Okay. It changes the course of my life. I feel like anyone would need someone to talk through on that, especially because he doesn't go there for the knee replacement. That's all I'm saying.
No one forces him to have the knee replacement.
He chooses to do it, yes, but there's... Okay.
But not being able to drive is very
I feel like you're gaslighting me right now. You're gaslighting me?
Okay, you don't know what that word means. We really got to hone in on that.
Let's talk about the show. We're going too far off topic.
No, because not being able to drive is not the same as not being able to play football. Because not being able to drive affects you on a way more regular basis than just having a different job.
But it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's... Okay. All I'm saying is that it feels like they went to the extreme. You said you're scared, so let me take the choice out of your... So you're not going to have to choose to go on the field anymore. I'm taking that out of your... I'm making this decision for you. You're welcome. And he accepts it. I'm just saying I feel like if they're going to have a long conversation to make sure that Meredith is okay with donating part of her liver to the dad that she doesn't even care about, then... Maybe they should have a conversation with a guy who spent his entire life working towards being in the NFL and he is a role model for millions of people. It just seems
so
like
you're just like negating that entire conversation we just had.
No,
you just need him to continue to be in the NFL so other people
he
can.
He just needs to have someone to talk to make sure that he's
how do you
at
know
peace
he hasn't
with the decision.
To somebody.
Because we never see it. That's what I'm saying.
We don't ever see him shit either. Do you think he doesn't shit?
Exactly. See, thank you for agreeing with me.
I hate this man so much. Also, they didn't really talk that long about the Meredith thing. So,
which Meredith thing?
The Meredith giving Thatcher the liver. That wasn't really a long conversation either.
The point of what I'm saying is that it felt like there was an in-between piece that was skipped. If we are led as audiences to believe that that is just something that happened behind closed doors, that's fine. I'm just telling you, as someone who's watching for the first time, that's how I felt. So
okay,
stop gaslighting me.
No one's gaslighting you. I'm just telling you, I don't think you're reading the situation correctly.
I'm interpreting it how I want to for the first viewing.
And
of
that
Grey's
is why
Anatomy.
I am saying I don't think you're reading it correctly.
I think I'm interpreting it the way that God intended. I'm going to put chapstick on where no one can see.
If you're listening to this and you like think that you can explain to me what Carmen is saying better than what Carmen is explaining,
I'm explaining it. You just think that you're so right that you aren't even taking the time to understand where I'm coming from.
Because I just don't think you're like being empathetic towards this man in any way.
I want him to not get hit every day. I don't like football. Because of the hitting. I'm just saying that with any kind of big fight, there's a finality and irreversibleness to this decision that I just want to make sure as the viewer or as someone that I'm thinking is in the scenario that they are at peace with the decision. Because if he isn't, he's going to spend his whole life regretting that he doesn't play anymore. And that could turn to resentment towards his kid and wife. That because he had a kid, he lost the way to deal with fear on the field, and that led him to taking his knee out of his body. These are all hypothetical people, too.
I am aware that the show's not real. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's just my thought process.
No, I see what you've explained.
I want to be clear. Don't play football. That's fine. Don't
I
play
just don't know why
not playing
you
football.
Take his ability to make his decisions out of, away from him.
No, I want him to have it. I just want to make sure that he's
you
talking to someone who's a professional.
Someone else to be involved. You can't.
No.
Just
I
let
want
him make a decision on his own.
I just want him to talk to someone to make sure that he's at peace with his own decision and it doesn't bubble up into nasty feelings with the aftermath.
First of all, you can get off your high horse because of all the people to talk about talking to therapists so they don't have fucking resentment.
See, this is gaslighting. I'm you don't agree with my opinion, and now you're turning this on.
Tell me what gaslighting is.
What you're doing
for me right now? No. I hate you. I hate you so much. I actually saw a video that was like the perfect explanation for gaslighting. This girl is sitting with her boyfriend or husband, her partner, whatever, and she's recording him, and she goes, I've decided I'm going to start gaslighting you. And he turns around and goes, why would you start gaslighting me? And she goes, I never said I was going to gaslight you. You're insane. That's actually what gaslighting is. Just disagreeing with someone is not gaslighting them.
I never said that you were gaslighting me. Is that gaslighting?
Yeah, a little bit. I still don't think you know what it means, though.
This podcast is... Clara, I am sorry, wherever you are.
Well, obviously, this is a lot of it. This is about the show.
It's about the show.
A very lengthy debate about very insubstantial character.
So leading into this surgery, there's this whole ordeal where Reed is like, hey, like, get me in on the surgery. And Alex is like, okay, like, why? And Reed says, well, because afterwards we'll go get drinks and like other stuff, wink. And Alex is like, oh, other stuff. So you mean fuck. And then Charles is like, oh, he means fuck. And he's going to collect on his debt like a tax collector. And she's like, shut up, Charlie, and punches him. And then we actually get to the surgery. Just before that, where Alex is like, all right, let's just go. I got us this on call room. Let's go fuck. And she's like, well, what about the drinks? And he's like, let's skip it. And then he gets the good guy, Alex, where he's like, I'm not going to trade this shit for sex. Just if you want a bone, tell me, and then we'll bone. Charlie comes up. He's like, oh, this is rough.
That's good guy, Alex.
That's good guy, Alex. If you want a bone, just tell me. And then Charles comes up and is like, this is wrong. I object. I morally object. And Reed is like, don't be a bitch. And they all walk away.
You forgot about the part where Meredith keeps yelling about how Alex is still married to
Izzy. He's married. Yeah, he's married. And then in the middle of the surgery, Reed is like, so I get to stand here and do nothing. And Alex is like, you get what you pay for.
Ha 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 ha. I like it when Carmen sums it up better than me.
I make it up as I go. And I... This is fun. I what's it called?
Improv?
No.
Banter?
Yes, this whole thing is improv. It's when you wrap it all up in a little bow. You summarize. I'm summarizing. I'm recapping and summarizing in quick spurts.
What did because you we're, say? Click spurts?
Click spurts. No, quick spurts.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Also, click spurts.
Okay.
Also, can confirm, Jessica made cookies, not brownies.
Oh, divorce.
I know. No, she's great. I told her that I was craving chocolate chip cookies. And I thought, we don't have shit for chocolate chip cookies. She's definitely making brownies. I don't know what she did, but we have chocolate chip cookies. And she sent me a picture of them. Well, that was fun. All right. What else is there in this episode? Did I summarize it okay?
I think so, yeah. You just missed Meredith screaming at Alex about how he's married and how he can stop talking to Reed.
Yeah. I'm okay with them. I I'm all for
them. They feel well matched, honestly. The energies are similar. It's not like Alex and Izzy being just the most opposite human beings you could find.
Yeah. Well, they don't have as much chemistry as George and Izzy did, but I still feel it. I still feel Alex and Reed.
I hate him.
So Charles clearly does actually like Reed, though.
Yeah. I'm glad you figured that out.
Yeah. So.
Also, he's very nosy, which, same.
Yeah. But, like, you do it in a cool way, like a.
Yeah, I am nosy so that I can gossip about people, not so that I can confront them about the shit that they're doing that I right. know about.
Yeah. We don't want it's the confrontation.
Better.
We person, like.
Clearly.
Yeah. We approve of the Kermit tea drinking meme. We do not approve of
whatever this was.
Yeah. But you know what they say? The Sloanes are a passionate people.
Okay. So let's rate the episode.
Last thing I want to say.
Okay.
Says, Derek said to about the guy. Well, when Callie says, it's tough. I just took one of the best quarterbacks out of the game. And Derek goes, he was out of the game a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
If only he had someone to talk to, like a therapist.
Better make sure he doesn't regret being out of the game a long time ago.
Just saying. Therapy.
Now being able to actually live his life the way he wants.
Gaslighting.
I'm going to make you talk to a therapist every time you apply for a new job now. To make sure you don't regret it.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You see how
you
that works?
You need to talk to a therapist 4 years ago.
Oh, man. The hitting doesn't matter to me anymore. Dad.
We need to go to bed.
Cookies! I got cookies upstairs. And then Meredith finds out, and Derek finds out about the drinking. Rating the episode. This episode, don't hate me. It's like a 3.9.
Wow. This episode ended, and I literally slammed my iPad, and I was like, this is a fucking good-ass episode. This is like a 4.7.
I think...
Honestly, the last like, 3 minutes, 5.
Actually, you know what? You know what? I'm going to agree. The last 5 minutes, I'm going to give a 5.
Yeah.
I would like to separate the rest of this episode with the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, also,
yeah.
I'm going to include Addison in the last 5 minutes. Mm. Addison in the last 5 minutes is a 5. Everything else in the episode is a 3.9.
The breakdown of this episode, like the timeline, the trajectory of the storytelling is really interesting because I feel like there are things where the story like comes to a climax way earlier in the episode than when we're used to. Cause I remember pausing it at some point to take a note. And I was like, there's still 24 minutes left in this episode. And like,
yeah.
So much had already happened. Like so much, like in a way seemed like it's how they normally leave things resolved. Probably cause it was like a 2-part episode. So they were just putting more into it or a crossover rather. But, so yeah, that was wild.
The scene where Lexi, Mark, and Sloan are in the room and he's like, all right, we're going to LA.
That was feels pretty early on.
That feels like where the episode could have ended.
Absolutely.
If they had other things, like if that was at 45 minutes on Netflix, mm-hmm. I could see if that was the ending.
Yeah.
But I agree. Yeah. It was like, whoa, there's still a lot left of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, those are separate for me. What do I need to predict?
Something with Weber and Derek and Meredith.
I'm not sure that Derek confronts Weber on it because of how it would negatively impact Meredith because she's been covering for him.
Okay.
So I think Derek's going to spend his time trying to get Weber to admit it on his own.
Okay. You think Weber will admit it on his own?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
When you just don't go 20 years and lose the ability to ask for help. I don't think. I've not been an alcoholic.
It's hard to say. I feel like with recovery, when you're probably at a point where so many people like would again, like kind of like the shock that Derek feels, because he was like, well, that would never happen. Like he never like that would have never crossed his mind. So maybe there is a point where you're like, well, you don't want to ask for help because you're like starting over again. You're like, I can't believe I went through all of this recovery and now I'm like back here at day one.
I see that. Yeah.
But I also see, you know, potentially like, yeah, oh, I've done this before. I can do it again. I can get help again. So I don't know. I think there's probably both things can be true. Just different people are going to have different experiences.
Yeah. So that's my prediction there. I think that we need more scenes where Callie and Arizona are in the shower together. I think that's fine with
Shocking.
Me. I'm sad about Lexi and Mark.
Yeah, definitely you didn't see that coming.
No. And I'm also I'm sad about Lexi and Alex, not because of the sex. I'm happy. I'm always pro-consensual sex. Mm-hmm. Even in the trickiness of Alex being quote-unquote married. And Lexi had just broken up with Mark. It's tricky.
So do you think that it's going to be like a one-time thing or like lots of sex for them?
I think, they're going to be living in the same house now. I think it's going to be a lot of depression sex.
And then, so Mark's going to go to LA with Sloan. Oh yeah, predict something for Sloan's baby.
I think that it's going to be a bit dramatic, but ultimately Addison saves the day.
Okay.
Do I want to predict that they kill off Sloan? Does she die in the surgery? No, because that would ruin Mark and Addison's friendship. Yeah, the baby's going to be fine. Baby's fine. And Sloan's going to be fine.
Okay. What can we talk about?
Derek is not going to be mad at Meredith for keeping the secret.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christina,
Bailey is going to bone. Bailey's going to fuck within the next two episodes. She needs to get laid. She needs
it. Who is she going to bone?
Who cares? I don't know. Alex?
Oh my God.
Someone. Oh, I don't know.
Callie, Arizona, Christina, Owen, Teddy.
Yeah, that whole thing is. Yeah. So Teddy and Owen, they're gonna do it.
When are they doing it?
Episode 13.
Okay.
And then Han's gonna come back.
Anything for Charlie or Jackson?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even see Jackson once in this episode.
I was pretty bummed.
Man. No, nothing right now on them. But it is interesting now. I'm on Charles' watch because clearly he does actually have feelings for Reed.
Yeah.
They're real feelings.
Okay. So I think we've predicted everything-ish enough. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry, I had a really intense, really long conversation about I don't even really know what we were talking about. Therapy, I guess.
You were agreeing with me for 20 minutes.
I was never done that for sure.
give more credit to our friendship. We agree on a lot of stuff, asshole.
But we don't talk about the things we agree about. We just know we agree about them. It's less entertaining for us to talk about things we agree about.
That's fair.
Just be like, ugh, Derek sucks. And you're like, ugh, I know, right? And then we move on and argue about something else.
Ugh, that's funny. That's
we do
fair.
Like each other. We were actually laughing a lot in between episodes.
Yeah.
Carmen was being funny, guys. It happens occasionally.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Put the chapstick on. Put the chapstick on and don't hide behind your pop filter. Okay, now I'm going to do it like a normal person.
I just don't like, I don't feel like I can't.
This is Carmen doing.
This, the reason that I have to do it like this is because it gets my mustache. If I have to go underneath to get the mustache.
I appreciate that reasoning, but I feel like if you shaved your face, you would still do it this way.
Well, out of habit now. Okay, you look so
you're
wiping off.
I'm doing cocaine. Right?
No, it looks like you're wiping off lipstick off of your teeth. Okay, all right, everyone, just calm down.
Okay, well, there's that one's on video, guys, so that's going on the internet. Yeah. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Please keep telling people about us. Please keep sharing, leaving ratings, reviews. Follow us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod. You can also email greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can follow our individual accounts, Chaotically Kelsey, carmen.gabriel.official. You can look at our cups that Carmen's holding up right now. Carmen got me a cup, and Carmen got Carmen a cup. So they're nice cups. Hopefully one day we'll sell them or something akin to them.
Yes.
We really do want to do merch. So if you're an artist and you want to work with us, email us and we'll, I don't know what we'll do. We're not asking for free art. Just email us and we'll like talk to you.
Our people will talk to your people.
Yeah. Our people being me. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. We do selfies. We do autographs.
Do.
And we appreciate you all. Thank you for watching. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening. Thank you for going to our Patreon and subscribing and getting all that extra hot, stanky content. We appreciate you. We will see you all in the next one.